How are your religious acronyms? ALC. Yeah, you need a little bit of history backdrop. ALC is American. Okay. How about LCA? See, this is partly a test of how old you are, but okay, how LCMS. I don't know if you remember that in 1987, there were members and representatives from all of those bodies, not a lot from LCMS. In fact, it was a group that had kind of broke off from them. But in 1987, there was a kind of a culminating event. It was, for them, a constituting convention. There was resolve for there to be a new church, a new denomination. After years of meetings and deliberations, after lots and lots of prayerful discernment, they had done it. They got together and they made choices. They made provisions to consolidate their finances. They resolved where to locate the new headquarters. Maybe you remember that the ALC, that's kind of our old roots, but that was in Minneapolis, and those other ones, they were in New York City. So where's the new one? Chicago. Okay. They aligned all of their social statements. They drafted and accepted theological language for the constitution that they developed together. They even decided how the new logo was going to look. All of that required hard work. All of that took compromise, and the process was onerous and demanding and often contentious. There were, after all, real differences in piety between all these groups. I mean, some were Lefse people and some were Krumkaka people. Some were red wine people and others white wine people. You know, some of them opened their presents on Christmas Eve and the rest of us on Christmas morning. I mean, you get the idea. They had thought of everything, but they needed a name. They had it all figured out, and it really kind of come down to the last thing to resolve. That's when Herb Chilstrom moved that we call this new church the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And of all the things they voted on during that conference, during that convention that summer back in 1987, of all that they did, the only thing that was a near unanimous ballot was this name, this ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So would you say that with me? Ready? The How did that feel? I wonder that if we were to do it again, if we were to come up with a name for our church today, we might have, well, used different vocabulary. I don't know. With all that we know of contemporary idiom and how the Gallup polls like to lump folks together, with all that we know about modern cultural shorthand and the slang of American politics, evangelical. Would we talk the same way? A lot has changed in the last 30 or 40 years, and, well, sometimes I wonder if that beautiful word, evangelical, some gets conflated or twisted around to, well, what some call evangelicalism. You know, revivals and crusades, the moral majority and Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, and another style of the Christian faith. Sometimes I worry if most contemporary Americans associate evangelicals with a kind of legalistic theology that's more about answers than it is about questions. If the kind of the vibe out there in the land that we share has come to associate this beautiful word, evangelical, with something else, it's more about a literalistic way of reading the Bible. That if when people hear that word evangelical, do they also hear hostility toward science or women or immigrants? That if when they hear that precious word, they think instead of suspicion of LGBTQ community and of universities and ethnic diversity. Has evangelical come to mean here lately conformity and compliance and authority instead of justice and equality and inclusion? I don't know. The old Koine Greek word, the one way back in the old, or I mean in the New Testament, is the word euangelion. It looks to our eyes vaguely familiar, euangelion. And if you look closely at it, you realize it's kind of two words that are smushed together. Can you see the word angel in it? Yeah. So what's the prefix? What's before the word angel? EU, which means, how's your Latin? Means good. A euphemism is a nice way to say something that's maybe not nice, right? So euangelion means this good message or good report. It is the news. Even in biblical tradition, what's the angel's job? Deliver good news, right? Right? So euangelion, or an evangelist, is somebody who brings, who bears, who shares, who testifies to this report, this good news about God's love in Jesus Christ, that somehow God is at work in the life, death, and resurrection of this one Jesus of Nazareth. There are other ways we've come to understand some of that, and I thought I just would kind of show you in a way that might make you smile. For instance, is it Halloween already? No, ma'am. I'm an evangelist. I'm just very shy. there's another one. It guarantees me an entire seat all to myself. Have you ever had that experience? A lot of us have had that experience. There's another one. Excuse me, but do you have a moment to talk about me? there's another one. This pamphlet is blank. Well, we're atheists. There was a family who came home from church. They'd heard a sermon about evangelism, and they were resolved to make good on the pastor's encouragement that they ought to be more evangelistic, especially in their neighborhood. So they went home, and they decided they would invite the couple from across the street to come over for dinner. So when the time came that the dinner was served, and they were sitting there at the table, and the church dad said to the church kid, you know, Billy, would you offer the grace tonight? And the little boy sort of sat there and said, I don't know what to say. So the church mom, in hopes to preserve and keep this kind of evangelistic spirit, said, oh, honey, that's okay. Just say what your dad said this morning over the breakfast table. Okay. Dear God, we're going to need your help. We have those awful people from across the street coming over for lunch tonight. Amen. It all gets kind of awkward, doesn't it? It all starts to feel dishonest, doesn't it? when we try to make euangelion, when we try to make this good news sharing, bearing, keeping, saying, offering, when we try to make this business of good news into a strategy, or we make it into a way to be successful, or we make it into some kind of proof that I'm doing Christianity right. What if instead evangelism is just living and speaking and believing that Jesus is here? If evangelism at its core is really living and speaking and believing that Jesus is alive. John's Gospel puts it this way: when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, do you remember? Peace be with you. And Jesus breathed on them. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. He said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I, what? Send you. Of all the people Jesus could have appeared to, It seems odd that he would come to this bunch. When you sort of stop and think about it, these particular people, who was there? Peter and James, John, these. Jesus would show up among them, this miserable bunch, this bunch of liars and deniers. This people who fell asleep. This bunch who were complicit in betrayal and abandonment and failure. This group who just got scared. Some of them ran away and some of them resorted to violence. This is what you got? Jesus finds them and chooses them and accepts them and loves them and breathes on them and sends them. Could Jesus do that with us? On Friday afternoon, I stood at graveside with the family of Mara Lee Hansen. Some of you know her, remember her. Maybe you remember Dave. Mara Lee had died a couple of weeks prior to that. And the truth is, that was after a long and difficult season for her. A long and difficult season for her. It was tough. It had been a kind of an experience of illness and loss, and the death of Dave just a couple of weeks before. I thought of it like gloom, like gray clouds and an overcast spirit. But do you remember Friday afternoon? Did you go outside? Something happened right around 2, right around 3 o'clock, and the sky opened up. And all of a sudden, there was blue. And all of a sudden, we could feel it on our shoulders. We could feel that warm sunshine bathing us. There was the smell of grass, and you could hear the birds, even there at Evergreen with Broadway and the freeway zooming back and forth. I told them on that afternoon that I remembered the last prayer that I had shared with Mara Lee when we commended her into God's strong arms and God's good care. And how when we got to the end, I said amen, and all three of her daughters say amen. And you know what Mara Lee said? Amen. In fact, I think it was her last word. And it was just like waking up from a long and bad dream. Maybe like the fog clearing, like a door opening. The next day I told Julie that if I had just one more conversation with your dad, I would love to tell him about the last conversation that I had with your mom. And she smiled and she said, "Oh, Pastor, I think they're already talking about it right now." Jesus breathed on them. Euangelion. My peace for you, and as the Father sends me, you know what? You go. Tell the news, the best news, that Christ is risen. Why does it go, Christ is risen indeed, huh? So if I say, Christ is risen, you say?
Christ is risen indeed.
You sound like people who believe it. Amen. Amen.